Hello, everybody. This is the Lotta Sports Talk show. Very special show today. Yesterday we were off because of a couple of issues going on with the computer and phones. And we just had to back out for the day, but we're back. Definitely back. Special guest today. He'll be in about 10 minutes once we get through the first couple things. I just wanted to go over something maybe I didn't get in depth in that first episode, why I'm doing this. People may ask, why are you doing this? What's the point of this? It's something that I hope when people listen, it takes them away from everything else for a second. You could just listen to me rant about sports, however I feel, whether it's right or wrong, whether you agree with me or whether you don't agree with me. It's something that you could just listen and enjoy, and you can call in, you could chat, you could tweet me. That's what I hope with this. That's what I hope to get out of this. I'm not, I haven't started doing this because I think it's cool. I think it sounds cool. No, it's as much as it's for me, it's for you guys. And that's just how I feel. And that's something I didn't get out maybe on that first show that I wanted to address on the second show. I didn't really explain the show is. The show is going to be fun. It's going to be for people to come in and have a really good time. And you can call in. I'm going to have the guests. It's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be a very fun show. And another announcement I want to make for next Wednesday's show. We're going to have a bunch of draft analysts on. The show will probably be about 2 hours, depending on how many people we get on. Right now, I have about 5 or 6 people scheduled, so that's pretty cool. We have those 5, 6. I'm going to release my last mock draft that day, my last first-round mock draft. Maybe I'll get into my second and third on air, so that's something to look forward to. I'll potentially, in the beginning of next week, I could be having a linebacker that's going to be in the draft next year. So we'll definitely talk more about that as we get closer. I'll make sure that's official before I announce who and what and when it's going to be. It'll probably, right now it looks like it's going to be either Monday or Tuesday. Because Wednesday is the big draft show. We will not be having a show on Thursday, the day of the draft, as I will be busy with other engagements. But Friday, day after the draft, or after the first round of the draft, we should be on. I'm not sure if it's going to be at 12 o'clock or whatnot, but we will be on. Another thing I want to run by you guys can, you can let me know in the chat box, you can let me know on Twitter. Should I change the time from the show from the noon hour to a later time, like a 6 p.m. or a 5 p.m. or a 4 p.m.? Because it seems like it's hard this noon hour. A lot of people are working, or even if you're younger, you're at school or college, and it's hard to get on at this time. So let me know. I'm flexible around to move my schedule. It just, whatever makes more sense, whatever is more efficient. So yeah, that's awesome stuff that I just wanted to get off. Just wanted to get out there that how I feel, what this show is going to entitle, what we're gonna do. So that's something to look forward to. And let's talk about the Mets for a second. I know we opened the show last week with them, but I mean, is it a bad thing to open the show every time we talk with them? 13-3. They've won 11 in a row. 11 in a row. That hasn't happened since the 1986 Mets. Remember that? I said this the other day, but I'm seeing something that me, as a Mets fan, I've never seen. Because I forget the year they were in the championships. I think it was 05, 06. That's how long ago it is. I don't really remember. I think it was 06. I was interested that year, but not as much as I am now because I get it. I get baseball now. I get everything that goes on with it. So I think this is something fun. Now, if they drop off, that'll be depressing. That'll be sad. But right now, it's a fun time to be in New York. And even if you're a Yankees fan, it's a fun time to be in New York. This Subway Series might be the best Subway Series in some time. I mean, obviously, not the one when they were both in the World Series, because that would just be ridiculous to see something like that. But, you know, the Yankees aren't playing bad baseball themselves. They're not. Everyone's contributing for them. You know, how long will it last for both New York teams? You know, right now, I don't know if it matters, to be honest with you. I don't know if it matters for New Yorkers, because right now, we're getting to go home from our shitty lives, working all day or doing whatever we're doing, coming home and watch baseball and enjoy baseball. I can't tell you that half, every single person in New York that likes baseball was happy at the same time. It's different. It's an exciting time. Everyone's wearing baseball caps. Everyone get ready for baseball season. It's fun. It's a fun time. I don't want to stay in the Mets too long. You know, we talked about them last show. What I do want to talk to you real quick, and then we're going to go on break. We'll come back, and we'll be talking to Mr. Kevin Zieber, one of my good friends. He'll be talking about basketball. Maybe we'll get into a little football. So that'll be fun. But real quick, I want to talk about last night's the White Sox and Royals brawl. A couple things to say about that. Yordano Ventura is, I don't want to call him an idiot. No, that's fine. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. He always puts himself in these spots where he's going to get himself hurt. He's going to get knocked out. He's going to go toe-to-toe with someone like a first baseman, a big first baseman, and they're going to come down, or David Ortiz or something, they're going to come down the line and just rock him. And it's not going to surprise me, and I don't even think the player that hits him should get suspended. He's obnoxious. I don't know if you saw it last night. He got the ball hit back to him. He looked at, I believe it was Adam Eaton on the White Sox, and said, F you. Not F you. He said the word. I'm not going to say it, but he said, F you. And you could see the face Adam Eaton and the umpire were just confused because nothing happened of that. Nothing was said before. Nothing. He just decided to tell him to F off. So I don't necessarily understand that. I don't understand if Giordano doesn't like the White Sox. As far as I know, there was never anything between those two teams. So I don't get that, per se. And then you got the brawl that ensues. Tara started this whole thing, so they both are going at it. You know, White Sox, I think it was Jesse Marcher, like a bull, just attacking people. Then you have Volquez on the Royals, who's just throwing haymakers, and he didn't connect on any of them, which was pretty funny. He missed every single haymaker. And then it became one of those, hold me back. You know, everyone's holding each other back. No one's, they would get each other's faces and flex, but nothing was happening, because that's normally what happens. But it was stupid. It was very childish. It was, came out of nowhere. It wasn't like everyone just has a problem with the Royals. And at first I thought, why does everyone have a problem with the Royals? Is it because they're good? Is it because the American League looks, you know, scared of them? And then I realized it's because they're all children. They have set themselves up for this. Every time they go out, not the other team. Obviously, they play a big part, but the Royals are just putting themselves in a bad position. And I'm going to tell you something. If I was a member of the Royals, and say I was Eric Hosmer or Alex Gordon, I would find Ventura in the locker room, and I would throw him up against the wall, and I'd say, listen, if I get hit by a pitch, or if I get any way, shape, or form affected by your decision right now, I'm gonna hurt you. Because they're going to come back, they're not going to go for you, because you don't pitch. You pitch every 5 days, probably be suspended, so you won't pitch every 5 days, but you pitch every 5 days. They're going to come after me because I'm a star. They're going to come after my head when they throw the pitch. So if they hit me with a pitch, I'm not walking down to first base. I'm walking right in the dugout and punching you in the mouth. Back after this. We'll be right back. We are back. The caller, Kevin, is having a little bit of trouble, but we'll definitely get him on, even if we talk a little bit about the NFL, and then we'll set it another break, and we'll try our best to get him back on. Talk about basketball a little bit. I mean, we'll talk a little more about basketball when Kevin comes in, but, you know, Steph Curry had his moment last night. Now, did Maurice Spates travel? Yeah, he did travel, but wasn't called. Did Steph Curry get fouled? Yeah, he got fouled. Wasn't called. Refs were too focused on what Steph Curry was doing because that was unreal. Step back, hits a J, and just says, I'm going to win this game. I'm the number one seed. You're the number eight seed, the way it should be. So, before that game, I was kind of wavering. I said, maybe the Clippers have the best chance in the West. And I was on here the other day, and I said to you guys, I said, hey, I said, I firmly believe that the Clippers might sweep the Spurs. After I said it, I thought about it, and I kind of, did I just go crazy? But then I was with it. I was like, no, it makes sense. I was like, no, I like my decision on that one. I like my decision on that prediction. And then I watched like the first quarter of the game too, and I was like, okay, well, you know, the Spurs are pretty good. Spurs can handle themselves. I don't necessarily know why I decided against the Spurs. Do I still think the Warriors, I mean, do I still think that the Clippers win that series? Yeah, I do. I think it goes to six. And that's, if it goes to six, that is so beneficial for everybody involved. So beneficial, because game seven would be on May 2nd. And if you know what May 2nd is, Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. It'd be the same time because it'd be a late night game. It'd be Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. It would be NFL draft day 3, which wouldn't really affect. You have, I believe, the Belmont Stakes is that day. One of the horse racings that day. And a couple other basketball games and hockey games. So it would be a big day. It'd be a big day. Yeah, I still think Clippers win that. I still don't know if the Warriors will beat the Clippers in the 7-game series. That still remains to be seen for me. I like what I saw out of the Pelicans last night. They're a team on the rise, for sure. Couldn't get a rebound at the end of the game, so that was something I was confused about. I don't know why they didn't have the right – I felt like they didn't have the right guys on the court at that time. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was just thinking too much because they couldn't grab a board. But Steph Curry took over. He took over. We're going to take one more quick break here. Try to get Kevin on. We'll try to fix this. If we can't, we'll come back and talk about NFL and NBA, and we'll have Kevin on some other day. But I'm going to try to fix it. Let's take it to break. We'll be right back. We are back. Kevin, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, Kevin?
Doing good. How about yourself, man?
Pretty good. I'm sorry about that. It was something, I don't know what happened, but I guess I had to call you for my end. So we're good now. You're here. That's all that matters. What I'm going to start off with is last night, watching the Warriors, who were down 20, just battle back. Was that something that was impressive, or was it expected, or how did you feel about that?
I got to say, I was surprised more than anything, you know, given how fast the momentum shifted. You know, you got Anthony Davis. He's looking like the blooming superstar we've been waiting for, waiting to see, especially since, especially against, you know, an MVP candidate in Steph Curry, Defensive Player of the Year, runner-up in, you know, Draymond Green. You know, he had a lot to go up against, and but he played outstanding. Ryan Anderson, he looked like he couldn't miss at some points. And, you know, they looked like they had all the momentum, but something must have clicked. And later on, and Steph Curry never looked back, you know. It was also poor defense on the Pelicans' end. You know, you got to know Steph Curry's going to have the ball in situations like that. You know, just even down by 20, you know, he's not going to stop. And that team is not going to quit. They're so energetic. They're so, you know, they got the depth. And, you know, Steph Curry's going to have the ball in his hands at that situation. How he got it twice on that final regulation play is beyond me. And I think it's beyond Monty Williams. You know, you got him in a situation where I think he missed or whatever. He got the ball back. You got to foul him. It's unbelievable. I just don't understand what was going on in the Pelicans' mind, you know, trying to get the block, whatever. But it's beyond me. I almost went as far as say if Pelicans stole that game, they can make that series go to six games. But now, from what I saw, the momentum clearly shifted back to the Warriors, as it always been. They got this series locked up, regardless if Pelicans steal one, but that was the game, I think, that they needed to really, you know, they looked like they had it locked up, and they let it slip away, and I think that was their chance.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking, too. You know, if the Pelicans won that, they can get to their second game at home and maybe even steal that one and make it an even series. The Warriors still win it, but make it a series, that was something I looked at. The Pelicans had every opportunity there. They had, they missed a couple free throws down the stretch that could have changed the whole game, could have been a 4 instead of 3 in that, or a 2 or whatever it was. It just ends the game. It changes it early. Second thing I want to ask you is, you know, that big shot from Curry, was that his moment for the MVP chase, do you think? Like, was that his moment you look back and you say, that was when Steph Curry took over?
You know, don't get me wrong, Steph Curry has been giving us a smorgasbord of MVP moments and plays all season, and that was that was incredible. And coming from a Clippers fan myself, you know, you and I had to smirk a little bit and say, wow, you know, that was just unbelievable to watch. You know, I don't think there are any many other players, if any at all, that could pull off that play, you know, with the hustle and the tough shot. When really it could have been a foul and a 4-point play too. You know, it was unbelievable to watch. And I would be shocked if that single-handedly changed a lot of people's views on the MVP race, if that solidified their vote for Steph Curry to be the MVP. I wouldn't be shocked at all. But with that being said, you know, we still can't overlook what, you know, what James Harden is doing in Houston, you know, with that boy Howard. You know, he's putting the whole team on his back. You know, no Pat Beverly. You know, it's definitely a toss-up. It makes the decision a heck of a lot, you know, tougher to make. So, but no, that was incredible. And I guess you can definitely argue that that was his MVP defining moment.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, most votes are already in, I believe. But it was something to me when you look back, and if he wins it, back and you say, wow, remember that shot he hit? Remember that big time play? Like the years when you had LeBron winning MVP, you could think, oh, remember that big time shot he hit? You know, that's what I felt with Curry last night. That was the moment that I had. But I agree. I think James Harden should win it. I believe he carried the team more than Steph Curry did. I think if Steph Curry doesn't play on the Warriors, that team drops like 10, 15 wins. But if Harden doesn't play, they might drop 20, 30, especially with the injuries of Howard. But I still think Harden. But on my third question here is, you being a Clippers fan, just so everyone knows he is a Clippers fan, What do you think about the rest of the series, Spurs Clippers?
I think it would continue to be a grinder, and you know there will be a ton of factors. You know, obviously that's any series, but you know this is definitely something I could see going. You know, at least six games with the way both teams are really you know putting their heart and soul into it. You know, a friend of mine texted me Wednesday night when I was watching the game, was saying it's going to be like a Boris Diaw type of game or series. And what he meant is that it's going to go as far as the benches take these teams. And, you know, watching a guy like Patty Mills come off the bench for the Spurs and spark them like he did, you know, it really proved that point. You know, it's going to rely on the Jamal Crawfords. It's going to, you know, it's going to depend on a lot of those types of players to really step in, make the big shot, you know, get the big block. And I think it also comes down to the Clippers playing smart basketball. You know, Spurs know what they're doing. They do this year in, year out. I know the Clippers have the experience. I think they've dealt with Game 7s the past two seasons, I think, I want to say. They know how to grind, but it comes down to smart basketball. Stay calm, take care of the ball, and close out games. You know, cough, cough, Blake Griffin. You know, it's just... You gotta watch out, you know. And one thing they need to do is, what I just thought, you know, keep an eye on Kawhi, man. This guy's a freak. He'll get the turnover whenever you need him. You just gotta keep an eye on Kawhi. He's the main factor. If you can control him, keep him under wraps. You know, you don't have Tony Parker, or at least you won't have the 100% healthy Tony Parker in this series. You gotta take advantage of that. You know, shut down Patty Mills. Just play all around smart basketball for the Clippers, and I think it will. You know, it'll be a tough one, but it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's the X factor. With Leonard, you don't really know when he's going to take over because he has the ability to take over. He's shown it time and time again where all of a sudden he'll just hit a switch and he just comes out and. He has nothing you could do about it because he's all around one of the better players in the NBA.
Right.
We have about 5 more. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
All right, yeah, we have about 5 minutes left. We're going to get into a little football here because we do have a little extra time. You being a Jets fan. What do you want for that first round of that draft?
I'm gonna agree with Big Mac's philosophy on this draft. I'm gonna go with the best player available. I know that, you know, we could go a lot of ways with this, and we could go pass rusher, you know, wide receiver Cooper. You know, I know they're looking at Kevin White as well. Obviously, any you know Jets fan wants Marcus Mariota. But I understand that's a long shot. I'll go with the best player available.
Yeah, you know, my philosophy still is I want either Marcus Mariota, Fowler, or Cooper. I think that those three make sense, and if you can't get one of those three, which you should be able to get Cooper, because I think there is a thought process that every which way the draft can go, you'll get one of those three. I think you trade back if you can't, but that's just me. That's how I feel. I think Fowler is one of the most he's one of the most raw players in the draft. He does things that people don't really see. Comes off the tape, which is what you look for.
And I think, you know, placing him in the system with Todd Bowles, who's such a defensive, you know, mastermind as it seems, I think they can really make a special player out of a guy like Fowler. If they were to go pass rusher, I would definitely I would love that. I would love to see that.
I agree 100%. All right, well, Kev, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
you
having me on.
In the future, man.
Definitely.
Thank you. So there's that. There's Mr. Kevin Zieber, one of my very good friends. Known him for about a couple years now. He's a great guy, great sports mind. With 2 minutes left, I'm just going to run down. I think I talked about it at the beginning of the episode, but let's just talk a little more about what's coming up here. Like I said, next week's a big week for the radio show. We have the beginning of the week. We have hopefully a draft prospect for next year's draft coming on. I'm not going to say the name because if it doesn't happen, I don't want to I don't want to back off. Then you got the big draft show on Wednesday. I'm hoping we're trying to get the show as big as possible. I felt my first episode was rough. It was my first episode. I felt my transition was off. Everything was off. I felt like today was a much better episode. Besides the one hiccup with the call, but I think I know how to get callers in now, so that's always good. But yeah, I want to thank you guys for joining me. We will be on back. We will not be on the air for tomorrow and Saturday or Sunday, so we will be back Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your day.